It has been said that words of comfort, skillfully administered, are the oldest form of therapy known to man. As surely as cruel words can cut our spirit and maim our soul, words of comfort can lift us up and transport us beyond all the struggles of life. As with all forms of healing, Jesus was the master at knowing what to say and when to say it. By doing so, He was able to strengthen the hearts of His disciples and encourage them to live lives of great service and great sacrifice. Today, we turn our attention to four of the most comforting words that Jesus ever spoke as we explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We are delighted that you've decided to join us today for this time of Bible study, and we encourage you to take your Bible and prepare to read along with us. We're going to begin this week where we left off last week in Acts chapter 1. A number of weeks ago, we began an exciting study of the entire life of Jesus the Christ. We talked about the fact that Jesus existed long before He was born on this earth to the Virgin Mary. We also talked about the birth that He had and that it was a miraculous birth, at the baptism that He had and how John had immersed Him in the River Jordan. We looked at the temptations that He went through, the trials that He looked at just before He was taken and crucified on the cross. We noticed His teaching and His miracles, the way that He died and the fact that He was buried. Then we noticed that He was raised from the dead by the power of God. And finally, last week, we noticed that Jesus left this earth. As He had come from heaven to the earth, He returned from the earth to heaven. And we noticed that wonderful ascension back to the throne of God, back to the right hand of God, where He now rules over His kingdom. This week, we can begin a conclusion to our study by looking at the second coming of Jesus the Christ. Jesus came to this earth once. History teaches us that. Bible records that. But Jesus is going to come again. There will be a day when our Lord returns from heaven to this earth, and He's coming for a very specific purpose. I said that we would begin where we left off last week in Acts chapter 1, because the ascension of Jesus is directly tied to His return. When the Bible talks about one, it often talks about the other. Notice with me in Acts 1, beginning in verse 11. Here we have a report from the angels who were present at this particular time. They say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." The angels were trying to comfort the disciples. They must have been very concerned on this occasion. I'm sure that they had no idea this was going to happen when they went there. They, of course, had never seen an ascension before because it had never occurred before. But of all the wonderful things they saw, this one had to be something that caused them both to glorify our Lord and at the same time to be concerned, to be worried about what they were now going to do without their Lord on the earth. We said that we were going to look at four words, four of the most comforting words that Jesus ever spoke. Just as the angels on this occasion said, "Just as you've seen Him go, He will return," Jesus had already made this promise. Notice, if you would, John chapter 14, verse 28. Jesus foretold this great ascension. He says, "You have heard Me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you." Again, Jesus ties His ascension and His return. "If you loved Me, you would have rejoiced because I said I am going to the Father. For My Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." Jesus had foretold that He would be raised, or that He would ascend from this earth into heaven. But He also told them that He would come again. In John chapter 14, we find beginning in verse 1 that Jesus is trying to comfort His disciples. And when we begin our reading in verse 3, it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Those are the four words that we mentioned at the very beginning of this broadcast. "I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." These should be words of tremendous comfort for us. They were designed as words of comfort for His disciples. Jesus did leave this earth, but He is coming again. Now, we need to understand that when God says, I will do something, that means it's going to happen. I recall to your memory Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7, where God destroyed the entire world with a flood. Now, before this flood actually came, our Lord announced it. I want you to notice the language. Genesis 6 and verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. God said, I will destroy them. And we know that destruction did, in fact, take place. But God is also true to His Word when He tells us something that is good. I remember when He spoke to the man Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. To Abraham He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. This occurred. God delivered just as He said He would. When God said, I will destroy, He destroyed. And when He said, I will bless, He blessed. When God says, I will do something, it happens. But what about Jesus? Is that different than saying, God said, to say that Jesus said? Well, notice, if you would, our Jesus as He walked this earth, Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 2. Here a leper comes to Him as Jesus is being followed by a great multitude. And the leper came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Then Jesus put out His hand, and He touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When Jesus wanted to do something, when He says, I will, or I am willing, then it takes place. It is a sure thing. Even though it may be indicated to be in the future, it is as sure as though it had already occurred. When God says, I will do something, He does it. Probably the greatest proof of this that I can think of is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. In John chapter 6 and verse 40 we read, And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. God said He would raise His Son from the dead, and He did. And He has made a promise to me and to you. He has promised both of us that if we will believe, and encompassed in that word is a belief that moves us to the point of obedience, a faith that works the works of God, the works of obedience. And if we do those things, I will raise him up in the last day. That's a promise made to us. When God says He will do something, we can depend on it. In John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, I will come again. So we can depend on the second coming of Christ. It is as sure as though it had already happened. Now, when we talk about this return of our Lord to the earth, we need to be very sure that we understand that no man knows when He will return. Oh, it's very possible for me to stand here today and say, I know that He will return, but I cannot tell you when. Nor can any other man who is honest, for the Bible does not tell us when Jesus will return. We do not know when He will return, but we do know that He will return. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, speaking of His return, our Lord says, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, but not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Jesus, as He walked this earth, at least at that time, did not even know when He was going to return. The angels that serve God in heaven, they don't know when this second coming is going to take place. This was something that was reserved only for the Father to know, at least at that particular time. There are no signs of this. Oftentimes, and I know you have heard and have seen it, either on radio or television, there are preachers who will tell you that there are many signs in the Bible that point to the return of Jesus. Many signs that if we just understand the prophecy, if we just have the keys to the prophecy, then we will know when He's going to return. It's very interesting to me that almost every time that you hear someone on radio or see someone on television that tells you that you need the keys to the prophecy in order to know when He's coming back, they're ready to sell you that information. They're ready to sell you a book that will explain these keys of prophecy to you so that you will be ready for His return. I want you to notice what our Lord said. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not that the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When Noah entered that ark, he knew what was going to happen because God had warned him. God had been warning him for 120 years. 120 years that he was building the ark and preaching a message of righteousness to the people. But the people did not believe. They did not expect the flood. Even Noah did not know when the flood was going to occur until God told him. That's the way it's going to be when Jesus returns. We're not going to know when it happens. It says we'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. These are all figures of speech used to indicate to us that life is going to be continuing just as it normally would. All of the things that you would usually do, all of the plans for the future that you would normally make, you will be doing those things, you will be making those plans, and Jesus will come suddenly. That's the reason that Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Oh, it is a fact that He's going to come. He said He would, but it's also a fact that we do not know when He's going to come. If we don't know that when Jesus is going to come, then how can we be ready for it? How can we prepare ourselves for an event when we don't know when the event is going to happen? Well, the answer is very simple, isn't it? You and I must always be ready for Jesus to come. You and I must live each and every day of our lives as though Jesus was going to come back today. If I prepare myself that way, and if you prepare yourself that way, then the day that Jesus does come, we will be ready. And if Jesus lingers, and His coming is not in our lifetime, which is very possible, we do not know, then that means that you and I will die ready for Jesus' coming. And if we can die ready for His coming, then we can be raised ready for His coming and at His coming. Our Lord is going to return, but don't look for some sign in the Bible. Don't look for some crisis in the Middle East. Don't look for some war or some famine as an indication of when. For the Bible tells us there are no signs of His coming. Trust what the Bible says. Do not lean on the things that man has told us. Now, the Bible also tells us a number of things that will occur when Jesus returns. But we're going to save that information for next week's study. I would like to conclude today by looking at a number of things that will not happen when Jesus returns. Mankind teaches many different doctrines regarding the return of Christ. And there are many things that we are told will happen when Jesus returns. But the Bible doesn't teach those. For example, the Bible does not teach us that He's going to establish a kingdom. In fact, the Bible teaches He will not establish His kingdom when He returns. Now, how can you say that, preacher? Isn't a kingdom promised? Oh, yes, it was. But that promise has been made good. That promise has already been fulfilled because the kingdom has already been established. How do I know that? Is that my opinion or my own doctrine? No, it's not. The Bible tells us that. Notice, if you would, Colossians 1, beginning in verse 13. Here Paul, during the first century, is writing to Christians in the city of Colossae. And he says, talking about Jesus as the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us, notice this, into the kingdom of His dear Son. God had already taken those people in Colossae, Paul included, and He had already moved them, transported them, moved them from one place to another. And the places that they had left was the places of darkness, the power of darkness. But He had moved them into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, it's not possible to be placed into something unless it already exists. At the time that Paul wrote this to the people of Colossae, both he and they had already been placed into the kingdom of Christ. Notice also Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. There the writer, the Apostle John, says, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulations and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John had been exiled to this island because he preached the word of God. But he considered himself to be a companion with other Christians, a companion in tribulations, but more than that, a companion in the kingdom. John was already in the kingdom, and those to whom he wrote were already in the kingdom. The apostles did not look for a day in the future when Jesus would return and establish his kingdom, but rather they knew that they were already in that kingdom. The kingdom, as we have said many times, is the church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And in the very next verse, promised to Peter that he would give to him the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom and the church are one and the same. So when Jesus returns, he is not returning to establish a kingdom. That kingdom is already established. But he is also not coming back to the earth. There are many who teach that Jesus is going to return to the earth, set up that kingdom, and reign over it for 1,000 years. But I want you to notice very carefully the wording of the Apostle Paul. He wrote to people in the city of Thessalonica. They were very confused about the second coming of Christ, so he wrote 2 books to them that teach much about this second coming. In 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning our reading in verse 13, Paul says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. This is a reference to those who have already died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Now, did it say that He's going to descend to the earth? Let's see. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus was giving us great comfort by telling us what's going to happen. Many times we're afraid of the things that we have not experienced yet. We're afraid of those things that are still before us because we don't have complete understanding of them. But here Jesus is comforting us by telling us what's going to happen. And He does not say He's coming back to this earth. Rather, He says He is coming in the clouds, as had been prophesied, and we will be caught up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible never teaches us that Jesus will return to this earth. Oh, it does teach us He'll return, but not to the earth. Finally then, today we notice that when Jesus does return, sinners will not be given a second chance. Jesus came to this earth once for the very purpose of dying for those who are sinners. Jesus offered Himself once. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 24 says, For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are a copy of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that He should offer Himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place each year with blood of another. He would then have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the age, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Do you understand what He's telling us there? He's saying that the sacrifice that Jesus made is not like the sacrifice made for the sins of man under the Old Covenant. Under the Old Law, there was a Day of Atonement once each year. The high priest would enter into the Holy of Holy Places, and he would make atonement for the sins of the people by killing an animal. We find Jesus is not going to do that. He's not going to offer Himself over and over again for the sins of man. If that's the way His sacrifice worked, God says He would have had to begin offering Himself even back at the very beginning of time. But He offered Himself once for all time, for all men, and that sacrifice can wash away the sins of all. Jesus is going to return, but He's not going to return to offer Himself for man's sins again. Man is appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, notice, apart from sin for salvation. He is coming to take those who have been obedient to Him, but He is not coming to offer Himself again. God has revealed His plan for man's redemption. Jude verse 3 tells us, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Jesus died once. God gave us the message, one time for all time, as to what we should do in response to that sacrifice. That we should hear the Word of God, believe it, repent of our sins, and confess His name before men. When we do that, we are then ready to be baptized into Christ. And if we will do that and live faithfully, then we can be ready today and every day for Jesus to return. He is coming back, but we don't know when. He's not coming to make sacrifice for us. He's not coming to establish a kingdom. And He's not coming to give us a second chance. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.